This week on It's So Bad, for the first time in our 39-episode history, we are having a culturally relevant moment as we cover Spider-Man 2, the week that Spider-Man Far From Home comes out, here on It's So Bad. And welcome, Chris, to the podcast.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
Good.
Good to see you again.
How are you doing?
I'm doing swell.
That's good. How do you like Spider-Man? Do you like your Spider-Man?
I do. I
medium always... cooked?
That's, it's a little weird.
So you can subscribe to this podcast on Google Play, iTunes, Spotify, etc. But we're adding Spider-Man 2 to our endless list of video games. What is the endless list? It's a list of the best games, the worst games, every game. It's up to 37 games at this point. This will be our 38th game added to the endless list. We judge it based upon, you know, the gameplay, the story, how its legacy, how it fit in contemporaneously with other games, etc. But we have our endless list here, and we're adding Spider-Man 2. So what is Spider-Man 2, Chris?
So Spider-Man 2
yes.
was a game that came out.
It was a game.
that came out around the time of the second Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire was released.
Not around the time, the exact day of Spider-Man 2 coming out.
Did it?
It came out, yep.
Oh, okay. Which, myself personally, that is my favorite superhero movie of all time, Spider-Man 2.
That's up there for me.
Yeah, yeah. Came out PC, Xbox, PS2, GameCube. There was probably like a GBA 1 or something like that, too, I'm going to guess. But
Personally, I have to evaluate the orgasm I had over Endgame and see if that was really my favorite superhero movie for me personally. Hmm. It's not the best movie, but... and it might have been a shameful orgasm that I had, but at the same time, I really liked that movie. Also, Black Panther was really good.
Well, that sounds like some stuff you got to talk with somebody and work through that.
Spider-Man 2 is also really good. But yeah, so open world action adventure game, GameCube, PS2. Did it come out on Dreamcast? I don't think it came out on Dreamcast.
No, Xbox, and it came out on PC, but I think the PC one was developed on a different tracked. I think it's a little bit different. I never played the PC one.
I have it listed here exactly where you can buy it. or where you can get it. PS2, GameCube, Xbox, PC. I played the GameCube version.
Oh, did you?
Yes. What version did you play?
I always had the PS2 version, but when I was doing some research leading up to this episode, I read an old IGN head-to-head from back then.
Oh, head-to-head.
Yes.
Tete-a-tete.
It actually seemed like the GameCube one was... for the most part, the GameCube one seemed to be the superior version to play.
Well, supposedly the GameCube had a better processor, I think, and a better graphics, but like minorly better, but
right.
better. But they couldn't keep hold enough data on the discs. The discs were smaller.
When you I watched like some comparison videos, like there's a lot different glowing and lighting effects in the GameCube version that aren't present in the PS2 version.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I bet those glowing and lighting effects look magical on a GameCube.
But the Xbox one was the only one that at the time could have the game in HD.
Oh.
So.
Interesting. You couldn't even do that on PS2?
Nope.
Cuz there's some games that I've played that are in like was it like 1080p, which is like the bare HD?
Oh, yeah.
Like Beyond Good and Evil, God of War, I've played. They have like 1080p.
Well, the problem is PS2 lags on anything that isn't a CRT.
Yeah.
So it's...
if you have... do you have component cables?
For the PS2?
Yeah.
No.
You can get component cables pretty cheaply, and it does make a pretty big difference.
Oh, okay.
So you should check that out. I don't have component cables for GameCube because they're ridiculously expensive. They're like $300 for some reason.
And nobody has nobody's bootlegged those yet.
They're like, I know, not the component cables, but they like make like HDMI adapters that are like $150. And I'm like...
It's supposed to be really good.
Yeah, but $150, and then they do like a side-by-side comparison. It's like not really that different.
Well, there's one that just came out in the past year that I think is only $90 or $100.
Okay.
That's the plug-and-play one.
Yeah.
That one looks really good.
Oh, well, maybe I'll check that out someday. But this game's kind of like a Grand Theft Auto, the original Grand Theft Auto 3. Destroy All Monsters, Jak 2, Mercenaries, kind of fits in that open world adventure vein. So we're adding this game because you recommended it, but it's also been known as one of the best superhero video games.
Yep.
Commonly.
Yep.
Personally, I feel like I was a little duped when people said that this was the one of the best superhero video games.
Did you play this when it came out at the time originally?
I did not.
Okay.
So this game came out in June of 2004, and I didn't play it at the time that it came out. But looking at the games that came out before this and around it, I question how good it was even at the time. So in 2001, Grand Theft Auto 3 came out. In October of 2001, 3 years before Spider-Man 2 came out.
Yeah.
I think Grand Theft Auto 3 is a better game than Spider-Man 2.
Sorry.
And then 2002, Grand Theft Auto Vice City came out. So 2 years before this. And then you have in 2004, Far Cry comes out for PC. Manhunt comes out. Doom 3 is out in 2004. Grand Theft Auto San Andreas comes out a month after 2 months after this game. So there's a, and Half-Life 2 came out the same year as this game.
Yeah.
So this game comes out at a time. So when people say this is one of the best superhero games, I'm like, all right, I'll take your word for it. We'll figure this out. I go through it. Didn't have a bad time playing it, but do I think it's one of the best games of all time? I don't know. We can talk about it. So before we get into that, so we talked about a little bit about Spider-Man, but Spider-Man 2, the movie.
Yeah.
When was the last time you watched that movie?
It's probably been a few years.
Still pretty good.
Yeah.
I watched Spider-Man 3. I told you about my experience watching Spider-Man 3 yesterday, which happens to be one of the worst superhero movies.
Agreed. Yeah.
It went from one of the best to one of the worst really quickly. So yeah, this Spider-Man 2 surprisingly still holds up. Still a pretty good movie.
Yes.
I don't know if you know this, but it was actually produced by Kevin Feige, the guy who is the now president of Marvel Studios.
Yeah.
And the guy who like leads all the development of all the movies. So there's a reason probably why it's good, because he's pretty good at doing that stuff.
Well, that and had Bruce Campbell. So,
Yeah, but the first one had Bruce Campbell too, right?
Yeah.
He was the announcer for the wrestling.
Yep. And then he was the chauffeur, not the chauffeur, the usher. The theater usher in the second one.
Yeah.
I forget what he was in the third one.
I don't remember seeing him. I only watched like three quarters of the movie, and it was really bad. There's James Franco is the Green Goblin in that movie, and he's on a snowboard glider.
Yes. Yeah. And that was not a good portrayal of the Green Goblin.
Really bad.
Yeah.
It's not as bad though. I don't think it's as bad as the Amazing Spider-Man Green Goblin. Because that guy was terrible.
Yeah, the whole thing was... Ugh. The whole Andrew Garfield era is just a mess.
I would
just
say the girl who's in that, or the woman, what's her name?
Emma Stone?
Yeah, Emma Stone does a pretty good job in those movies. But she's the only one. She's like the only reason to watch those things, because they're bad. Yeah,
there was nothing good there.
Jamie Foxx is Electro?
I didn't even see that one. Oh my God. That was the second one, right?
The second one is so bad. Then Rhino has like a mech. That's like Rhino. It's so dumb. So yeah, so this game is a direct sequel to the first game. Have you played the first Spider-Man game?
Little bits.
Yeah. So I guess the big difference between that game and this game is really the swinging.
Right.
And I haven't played the first one at all, but the second one developed a technique called like ray casting, I believe it was called, where when you hit the button for Spider-Man to sling out a web, it would find a spot to attach the webbing onto, and it would actually swing from it. Whereas in the first one, when you hit the web button to swing, you just swing from the sky. You weren't connected to anything.
Yeah, when I remember, it felt more like a flying mechanic,
right?
You know, in the guise of like Spider-Man swinging. Whereas, Spider-Man 2 is actual swinging.
And I don't think Spider-Man 1 was open world.
No.
So this game is like very much inspired, and the creators say they're inspired by Grand Theft Auto 3 in this game. It feels very much like a Grand Theft Auto game. And one thing that's very different from it is there's no fog at all in this game.
Mm.
So if you stand at there's actually a mission right at the beginning where you have to stand at the tallest point of the city, and you can see the entire city.
Yep.
How they do it is they just don't show you textures. So as you swing closer, there's you get textures, and that kind of leads me into one of my main gripes of the game, is that New York is made into a grid, and why Spider-Man works is because he can swing down these large canyons of buildings really fast to go places, and they're just a straight line. In this game, what they do is they put up, there's no straight lines, it's like a curve, and then there's a building in front of you, and you have to stop and go around the building. And I think, I didn't read about this, but I'm pretty sure the reason why they did that was because they didn't have the processing power to make all of the buildings load in a straight line. So they had to keep a building in front of you so that when you swung around it, then you would see further.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, even at the time playing it, I remember playing the game feeling like it was almost like an underpowered Grand Theft Auto in a way, in the sense that, like, the world didn't feel as alive as Grand Theft Auto
did.
And it didn't feel as, like, it felt like you were kind of playing a Grand Theft Auto clone in a sense that was, just not as powerful.
And you're just different. You were a superhero.
Yeah.
You don't have guns, though. You have web spray and web bombs.
And your fists.
And your fists.
And your fists.
And your fists. But yeah, this game also, I think, for being... So we've played a couple games from, like, 2004, 2005 era on this podcast. We played God of War, which is a 2005 game. Shadow of the Colossus, which is a 2005 game. Zone of the Enders, which is a 2001 game. And Zone of the Enders and this game kind of look on parallel. And they're, like, in their graphics, and they're 3 years apart. And this game really looks to me like almost like a PS1 or an N64 game, some of the textures and some of the graphics.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, you know, I feel like we kind of have to keep in mind that, like, this is a movie game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
it was developed in 24 months, so yeah. It was not... there are some aspects of it that are super impressive. Like, for example, having no fog in 2004 is super impressive, but then you stand in the world and you see people out in the world and they're like, Spider-Man, come save me. And they're the only people out in the world. There's no one else.
Right. Yeah. It's not the most living, breathing world.
And then there's like, you to find a store, it's like so hard. You have to find the store to like level up.
Right.
And if you, and on the, so you played the PS2 version. I don't think it's like this on the PS2 version, but on the GameCube version, in order to get to the map, you had to press like start and Z at the same time. And I had to like Google how to get to the map because I didn't know how to get to the map because it doesn't show you anywhere on the screen.
That sounds like a GameCube problem.
Yeah. So I was like, I couldn't find the store. And then they're like, go upgrade your thing to progress to the next level. And I had to like wander around for a while. Eventually I figured out that there was a map in the game. And then I got to the map and I had to find the stores. But yeah, the stores are not like clearly defined or marked. You have to be like, go to the map. Look, go a little bit, go to the map, go a little bit, and then find stuff. Upgrades in this game were also kind of not the greatest.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of those things, like, you get there's a few moves you unlock, like, kind of like the running shoulder tackle and some of, like, the swinging attacks that, like, once you have them, like, you pretty much just spam those for the rest of the game.
Yeah, so one of the things I thought was super interesting about this game, and I don't know if it came across when you were playing it, but... So I watched the movie and I played this game kind of in parallel, and I noticed something that was really weird is that they had all these like key moments from the movie, but they were always like a little off.
Yeah.
And they're not like perfect to the movie. And what I found out was that the team that made this, it was released the same day that the movie came out. They weren't allowed to see an advanced copy of the movie, and even an advanced copy wouldn't have been done in time for them to like actually work on the game. So what they did was Sony Pictures invited them, the development team, who are Treyarch, who would go on to make Call of Duty Black Ops games. Mm-hmm. Treyarch was invited to the studio to read the script. They weren't allowed to take the script off the property. So they had people who go there, read what they had, write notes, and then they would put it in the game. but they couldn't see like a storyboard or couldn't see visuals. So it's just what they imagine what the script would look like on a stage.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, on the actual screen.
It's actually kind of impressive, though, in a way, when you think of like how, I guess for lack of a better term, spot on some of the scenes were, for if that was like the limitations they had to work with.
It kind of feels like a fever dream version of what that movie is.
Yeah.
And I mean, so what they did was they didn't obviously, because this game is like much more fleshed out than the movie, because there's like this whole thing with, what's that guy's name? Mysterio, Shocker, and all these others,
Black Cat sequences.
These side people who aren't in the movie. So they include some story beats. So Dr. Octopus throws the car into the restaurant when he's making up with MJ at that one point. There's like those beats, or like when he is attacking you on the train at the very end, which I don't think makes a lot of sense in the game, but makes sense in the movie a lot more. There's like things like that. So but yeah, there's some parts that they added in there that I was just like, so we have 37, this is our 38th game on the list. There are parts in this game that I've never been as frustrated with a game as this game.
Really? Really?
The one part that I will say that was the hardest for me to do was the Statue of Liberty, where you had to get to the swing to the top of the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
The problem with it is that, so you have to, the sequence is that Mysterio has, is it Mysterio? I think it's Mysterio.
Yeah.
He has like this thing on the top of the Statue of Liberty that's going to wreak havoc on the city. And you need to swing from these helicopter things that are dangling in the water out into the Statue of Liberty. And the problem is they go up. And it is tremendously hard for you to get up with just web slinging. I don't know why it's so difficult.
Not the Mysterio stuff is not the smoothest chunk of the game.
Also, I don't know if you know this, but this was like that part was directly ripped out of the Sega CD Spider-Man game.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. So the guy who developed it was like, I really like this sequence from the Sega CD Spider-Man game, which is very similar to the Revenge of the Sinister Six, the game that you like on the NES.
A fantastic, fantastic product from LJN back in the day.
So yes, they were very highly influenced by that, and they were. It's funny how they were influenced by like old Spider-Man games, because this is like a completely new take on a Spider-Man game. But yeah, so that Mysterio portion, I've never been as frustrated in any game.
Yeah, that was not a good part.
So whenever you swing, and if you miss the swing, which you are bound to do because it's not perfect, you land in the water and you have to start all over again.
Oh, how did I wash up all the way over here?
Oh, and you can tell that the developers knew they made a mistake in it, because when you get to the part where you have to swing around the Statue of Liberty, if you just get, and you have to punch like 8 things that are around it, and then you have to punch the thing in the center. And if you swing towards those 8 little balls that are powering the shield and you hit the balls, if you're just close enough and you just keep pressing punch, he like homes in on the thing.
Yeah.
So if you swing off and you miss it, but if you keep pressing punch, he just kind of zooms towards the energy ball. So that's how the developers made it up to you. I don't know if that's a glitch or if that's just them trying to make it easier for you.
But so it sounds like you didn't have the best time with this game.
I didn't have the worst time with this game. I don't think this is the worst game ever. Do I think this is the best superhero game? No. I have played a lot of, like in the past, not a lot, I would say. So in the past 3 years or 2 years, I've played Spider-Man 2. I played Spider-Man 2018.
Yeah.
And that for the PS4 one. And then I played Batman Arkham Asylum.
Right.
This is my least favorite of those games.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of where I was kind of going with highlighting that you didn't play it at the time that it came out. I think this was a game that I think, I feel like you see like a lot of elements from this game kind of pull over to the Arkham series. Like, I feel like the way the combat is with Spider-Man, I feel like, you know, that was kind of greatly improved on in the Arkham series. I think like just the concept of, you know, there was no other open world superhero game at the time, and it was really
I mean, just there wasn't a lot of open world games in general.
Yeah.
This game, Batman Arkham Asylum came out 5 years after this game, so that was a hefty time period. So they probably were very much inspired by Spider-Man 2, I would say.
I mean, I feel like there's elements of when you play the 2018 Marvel Spider-Man that I feel like it is essentially, it is a much more, well, obviously much more advanced, much more polished version of this Spider-Man game, in the sense that, like, it just took all the ideas and really, really improved on every aspect of
it. Yes, yeah, absolutely.
But I feel like the swinging actually doesn't feel too different between the two games.
No, but there's, like, just some things that it happens because the physics suck in Spider-Man 2, where it's like, I can't do this. It's so bad. Yeah, Spider-Man 2018 is very much more polished, and speaking of that, so many glitches in Spider-Man 2. I sent you a video of me in the first, like, 20 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
There's a armored car burglary attempt that you have to spoil, and a guy gets away in a helicopter, and the guy, there's, like, a cinematic that plays where the guy enters the helicopter, and I had the first 20 minutes of playing, the guy couldn't get in the helicopter and just sat there I sat there and watched it for like 10 minutes because he couldn't get to the helicopter.
So
there was a time where a cop got, I should send you this too. There's a cop that got stuck in a car that I was trying to chase. He was just stuck in the middle of the dashboard. It was hilarious.
The first time I ever actually played this game, there was a game breaking glitch that happens like after you complete the Mysterio section, when you are leaving through that apartment window, and then like the next story is supposed to load, or the next story chapter is supposed to load. And the first time I played the game, I just came out the window, and the next story chapter never loaded. And I just kept swinging around the city for about 20 minutes, going like, "What am I supposed to do here?" And then I went online at the time, and I looked it up, and I was like, "Oh, it's a game breaking glitch.
That's
like
terrible.
If it doesn't trigger, it's never going to trigger."
Ugh.
And so
did you just quit playing?
No, I think I had to. I think I had a. I don't remember where my save file was, but I remember it was really far back at that point in time. But I had a play. Actually, no. I think if you get that glitch, I think you have to erase your save file and start fresh.
Oh my god, that happened to me recently. Like last year, I wanted to do Beyond Good and Evil for the podcast,
mm-hmm.
And I played it. And there's a guy that follows you around in that game and opens doors for you. And that guy glitched out and disappeared. And I looked it up online, and I was literally like, there was like 10% of the game left, like maybe an hour or two, and
that's the end. The end of the run.
I was just like, nope, that. Not doing it anymore. Yeah. I'm not gonna do it. Terrible. But yeah, so we talked about the Statue of Liberty section also sucking. I also hated the theater. Was real bad with Mysterio. Pretty much everything of Mysterio is bad, for me at least. You have to rescue guys that are trapped in the theater. But then they still had that issue where you had to swing up and get, because you had to get height on going up to get to the balcony.
Right.
It's just so difficult. And then they have like the Doc Ock fight. Some of it was okay, but the computer part was like really bad. The final boss, where you have to turn off the computer.
Yeah.
Ugh, that was horrendous.
Now, after you, sorry, keep going.
Because you have to go into a part where there's water, and it randomly shoots an energy burst that will knock you off the walls and kill you. So you have to start it all over again. It was miserable.
Now, after you cleared that part, essentially the main story part, did you keep playing after that? Because I think you're only about 50% of the game. This is a game that I 100%ed.
Did you just keep doing missions? It's just random missions.
Yeah, and
right?
Then it's like you get like the boss rush level in the warehouse.
Oh, really?
And there's like some exclusive, some new bosses for that.
Ooh, who's the new bosses?
I forget. Oh. But
So the Doc Ock fight. I actually, so the like the story was, I didn't think was bad. I would say that the very, very early 2000s rendition of what womanhood looked like with the black cat
Yeah, she questionable.
They actually they got notes from the studio to tone back the sexiness of the black cat. And this is not saying too much because they didn't tone it back very much.
Yep,
and and you follow those sections also were because of the way the city was laid out, where you have to like follow her around.
Yeah.
It was what my main problem with this game is like Spider-Man 2018 felt like you could just flow. You flowed when you were in web-slinging. You flowed in your movement. It was very flow. When you fight, it's all very flowy. So you're moving and you're dodging and it just keep going. In this game, it's like you swing for like 2 seconds, you hit a wall and then you have to go down. You fight somebody and you're fighting somebody and somebody hits you from behind and you get stunned and you knock down. The Spidey sense gives you like half a second in order to do anything. It's like, what the fuck? This is not Spidey sense. This is just a normal human being sense.
I think your impression of the game, like, it's because you didn't play it at the time. Like when it came out at the time, it was just awesome. Like you would climb like the tallest buildings in New York.
Oh yeah.
Like,
I can imagine
dive
that.
Off yeah, and yeah, stuff. Yeah. You couldn't do that in any of the game back then. I mean, you could try to do like some weird, like, you know, hokey tricks and shit like that in Grand Theft Auto. But like, you know, having a game like this where you could like jump off the Empire State Building and then like swing around
at the time was pretty cool. Totally. I would say also that the lack of music is super weird because you'll go long stretches without hearing any music.
Yeah.
And then you'll hear the Danny Elfman Spider-Man 2 soundtrack just randomly.
I think, I guess that's a good spot to talk about how I appreciate that like they got the actual actors in the movie to kind of come in and do that, but
they
sound like they're half awake when they're doing it.
Well, Kirsten Dunst sounds really bad. It's only three. There's only three people from the game, and Bruce Campbell does the narration.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yes. So you have Alfred Molina doing Dr. Octopus. You have Tobey Maguire doing Spider-Man, and you've got Kirsten Dunst doing Mary Jane. Those are the only people who are in this besides Bruce Campbell. So I don't think Tobey Maguire does a bad job. I don't think Alfred Molina does a bad job. I think Kirsten Dunst is just terrible.
I feel like Tobey Maguire sounds like he's sitting down, reading his lines, enjoying a cup of coffee.
So I just told you I'm playing this game, this Jurassic Park game where they have actors' voices, and you want to talk about phoning it in. Those are funny then. This is like fucking Academy Award winning material compared to that. So, I don't know. I didn't have a problem with their voices. I actually thought that was one of the highlights. The story was definitely one of the highlights for me because it was true to the movie in ways that movie games were not true to the movies back in the day. So this game came out on the N-Gage. Did you know that?
No, I was not aware.
It came out on the N-Gage.
Somehow that slipped by me.
Had a different developer, but it came out on the N-Gage, and that's my nice little tidbit of trivia for this game. I think it was a different game. It was like scaled down version of it, but because the N-Gage only had like PlayStation level graphics.
Yeah,
maybe a little bit worse, but yeah. So we reached the point in our discussion where we talk about where this goes on our ranking.
It does. It is that time. I mean, you know, when I look at a game like this, I look at it for, well, one, I certainly have a lot of nostalgia for this game that you don't have, so that probably colors me a little bit. But I also look at it from I think it did have a lot of impact on superhero games going forward. I think with the Arkham series definitely lifting a lot from this game, or and improving on it in every sort of way. And leading up to the new Spider-Man game that came out last year.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
you can definitely, there's like things that this 2018 Spider-Man game directly lifted from this game.
Oh yeah. So I always kind of wonder how this game would have been if it wasn't, you know, kind of like in that cash grab, like movie tie-in situation.
What you got last year.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder what we would have got back then. So, you know, I'm looking at this list. Obviously, you know, this is not a better game than Batman Arkham Asylum.
So I will say that this is our first game from 2004. This is our fourth PS2 game on this list. Our first ever GameCube game and our first ever game that was on Xbox originally. Our second movie game, GoldenEye is our first, our second game based on a comic book with Batman Arkham Asylum. So, I mean, this is I don't think it's better than Batman Arkham Asylum. So, I mean, that's a starting point. But beyond that, this game, so just looking at the PS2 games, this game is better than Zone of the Enders. It is, at 33, it is worse than God of War, in my mind.
Where's God of War?
God of War 20. Is 20. So it's in between 33 and 20, in my mind.
I thought we were going to be way off on this, but that's actually kind of where I am at as well.
So when we do these rankings, I kind of look at the platform. So that gives me a nice idea of where it is, sits in their lineage. And then from there, we just got to hammer out what we think this game is.
I
think this game, for example, personally, I think this game's a better, like, overall game and probably has more influence than a Crazy Taxi.
Yeah, I'm falling somewhere between Crazy Taxi, I think it is better than Crazy Taxi, which is at 25, but I do not think it is better than Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah,
which is 22.
Okay,
that's kind
of where I think we are. So we are both fans of Extreme War for Revenge. Do we think it's better than Extreme War for Revenge?
It's such like a
because
I had way more fun with Extreme War for Revenge.
Yeah, Extreme War for Revenge isn't something that's gonna age.
Yeah.
You know, like Spider-Man aged. Spider-Man 2 aged.
And Pilot Wings is just a game I never. I was never very much into Pilot Wings, but I could understand if it goes below Pilot Wings.
So, where do we want to put it here?
Personally, I would put it above Crazy Taxi, but below EW Revenge.
I think I'm with you there. I don't think this is going to be a very, very big. Well, yeah, because like honestly, it's
no controversy.
It's
here.
A better game than it's a better game than Hexen. Hexen had you running around doing like a million. It was Hexen's an interesting game, but it's not a better game than Hexen. Crazy Taxi. It's kind of got that similar feel with Crazy Taxi. Crazy Taxi was innovative because it was open world, and you could go anywhere in your taxi cab and do anything. But I like to talk a lot on this podcast now about completeness of vision and like. That doesn't seem like a very complete game. Like, there's more stuff that you could add into that game to make it more fully fleshed out.
Yeah.
This Spider-Man 2 feels like a more complete game, where at the same time, it's like totally doesn't feel like a complete game, but it feels like more of a complete game than Crazy Taxi.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's only like 5 different side missions off the top of my head that you can do. And you have to do them over and over and over again.
Yeah, the enemies get a little bit harder, like when they start getting armored and stuff.
Yeah, but still, they're super easy. They're not, aside from boss fights, I don't even think I died that many times in boss fights. But in the story missions, I don't think I ever died.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the hardest part is just when you just get a whole series of random crime and stuff like that you try to stop.
Yeah, but then you get every time you defeat a group of guys, you get a health pack.
Yeah.
And you get full health. So it's...
We didn't even touch on it, but know what I really hated was the every time like a girl loses a balloon. Oh my god!
Because that goes back to it. Because when you swing, you can't get.
It's like, listen, little girl, life is about loss, and yeah, you're experiencing it right now.
One of the side missions is you have to get a balloon for a little girl, and it is impossible. If you catch it too late,
was the hardest, and then you just watch it float away.
So you got the balloon, you got the lady who gets mugged.
Yeah. You had to stop the car. There's the getaway cars.
Oh yeah, there's
those
one.
Those are kind of fun.
Yeah, those are okay. There's the one where you the lady will be like, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do this to you," and then you just get jumped by like 15 guys.
Yeah.
Oh, the voice. Oh, and you know, when I said the N64 game, I think kind of what distills the graphics for me as an N64 game is when you start a side mission, it zooms in on the person's face
you're
helping, and they look like they're straight out of No Mercy.
whenever police and the criminals are like exchanging gunfire with each other.
Their mouths don't move.
Yeah,
it's like,
rough.
It's like, Spider-Man, are you gonna help me? Yeah, it's bad. So I think we have a good spot for it, though, which is above at our new number 25, above Crazy Taxi, but below Extreme Warfare Revenge.
Yes. Yep.
Cool. Well, thank you, Chris, for joining me.
Hey, see you soon.
We dealt with some interruptions. We had cats that came in.
We got there. We got there.
But we got through it.
Yep.
And thank you so much for to your manager. No, your who's the person?
Client.
Your client.
Client.
Dos Cicchini Jr. for the music. I also want to just shout out to Eurogamer. They did an interview with the designer Jamie Fristrom on this game, and also US Gamer had an oral history of this game, which were very important for this episode. So shout out to those guys. And you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, etc. for all of your It's So Bad needs. And the complete ranking will be up on our Medium page, which is in the podcast description. So go check that out. We now have a 38th game added to our endless list. And thank you so much for listening.
Excelsior.